Well, I wonder if I can have my slides, and I wonder if very briefly we'll do what I was going to do with the teenagers before and ask you, if you will. I'm not seeming to get anything, Ben. Should I be? Okay, I'm going to have to do "and the next one, please." So if you could, not that one. Keep going. Keep going. That's it. Lovely. Stop there. What does that say? What does that say? Do you need a hint? And the next one. Here you go. These will give you a clue. That tells you what the codes are. Anyone know yet? No, 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 no. The Pigpen tells you that the code is the standard Pigpen code. And the picture of which Caesar? Julius Caesar tells you that the code is Caesar's transcription code. Any ideas yet? The crossword solvers are going for it. I know they are. I'll give you another clue. Here's another translation. You might need to click it twice at that point, Ben. There we are. Ah, you all read backslang. That's obviously, and again, please, but you all read backslang, but you're a bit slow on Pigpen code and the Julius Caesar transcription, where every letter is moved three to the right. So if you wanted to write A, you'd write D. Read your history, I think, is the is the lesson there. And the challenge is this. There's a code. There's something to be deciphered. There's something to be understood. And on the day of Pentecost, that got explained. And that's really what's going on. And we've got to have in the back of our mind as we think about the day of Pentecost, and as we think about all that comes with the coming of God the Holy Spirit into people's lives, it's not about anything other than making the message clear. It's not much good if I go and stand there on a Saturday morning following up from the prayer on the streets, guys, and shout, "Jesus, joy is ordly." Very few people will know what I'm talking about. Worse, if I try to pronounce either of the other two. But if, by the power of God the Holy Spirit, I can proclaim in a language that people understand and in a way that they hear Jesus is Lord, then there's a question and a challenge and an opportunity. And God the Holy Spirit is truly at work. And that is what is going on in Pentecost. And that is the controlling picture for everything that follows in the New Testament about spiritual gifts. What's the purpose of the gifts? What is the purpose of God the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit at work in a Christian's life? It is to make the message of the gospel clear. God the Father has a plan. He has spoken. He has declared his plan. He has sent the Lord Jesus to fulfill his plan. And he wants now the message of the work that Christ has done to be proclaimed, so that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the Father's behest, all will be gathered in. All the people will be saved. So as we think about 1 Corinthians 12 and the spiritual gifts, let us hold that controlling picture in our mind. Thank you, Ben. Probably a couple of clicks because there was meant to be the young people's talk. So we move into the passage, Corinthians 12. Let us remember that this is the controlling picture. The message, Jesus is Lord, needs to be got out. You see, the Corinthian church had a problem. And if you've been with us as we've studied this so far in the evenings, we're bringing this passage forward to the mornings because of the focus on Pentecost today, you will know that the Corinthian church had a number of problems. Actually, they had a great deal of problems. The purpose, sadly, that God worked out for the rest of us is that the Corinthian church's problems became written down so that we might know what problems we might face and how to deal with them. That's the blessing that God worked out of, one of the blessings God worked out of them having so many problems. And some of the problems you've heard about as we've been studying this is many of these people have been saved out of pagan worship, pagan temples, and they were bringing the way of doing it that they'd done it before into the church. And so one of the things that they brought into the church was the waving of unbound hair and ecstatic utterances and the role of the priestesses. And if you read earlier on in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul has some words to say to some of the ladies. Stop doing it for show. Stop doing what you're doing because you think you ought to be doing it like the pagans do it, and do it for the benefit of the church and for the glory of God. And that continues here. Okay, so that continues here. Although here, because we read in verse 1 now about spiritual gifts, Paul is responding to something the Corinthians have asked him to talk about. Earlier on, he hadn't. He just heard that that's what they were doing. And he'd said, got to change that too. So the Corinthian problem is they're saying, we just want to do it like that. We didn't want to do it the way we did it before. We want to have these weird and wonderful languages, which nobody really understands. Just like the pagans. We want to do that in church. Now today, we don't have the same problem, at least not in this church. There are some churches, perhaps, who overemphasize tongues, but today we would probably, more of us, say, well, we don't need any of those gifts. And we're quite happy with what we have got, and perhaps some people would say that the gift's finished and ended and are no longer required. It's a similar problem, but it's the other end of the spectrum. And if we're not careful when we take that position, we can make the same mistake that the Corinthians were making, and that is by saying, I know what you want us to do in worship, God, rather than saying, God, what do you want us to do in worship? We can do it from both ends of the spectrum. We need to be very careful. The fact is, this passage of Scripture is sometimes used to suggest that spiritual gifts have ended, but actually Paul doesn't say that. It's not his emphasis. It's not what he's trying to say here. What he is saying to the Corinthian church is, whatever you think, you need to let God be God, and you need to experience whatever God sends for you to do, to be. You need to let God rule in the church. You need to experience all of the faith, hope, and love that God gives, not just the limited bits that you wish to experience. So for some of us, as we come to these passages, we have a bit of rethinking to do. And I say to you that this is rethinking I have been doing. I grew up in a liberal church which didn't do gifts because it didn't really do the Bible. I went to a preaching church where the emphasis was very much on the preached word and nothing else. I went to another church which had many cessationists, which was even further along than that and would not have envisaged gifts ever being used because, quite frankly, they were no longer relevant. But as I've studied, I believe God the Holy Spirit has opened my eyes and removed the fears that I had of the unknown and said to me, as Paul told the Corinthians, you need to let me have my way among you. That's what God is saying through Paul. You need to let me, God, have my way among you, my people. And when we do that, and when we make that our goal and the Bible our controlling influence, I believe we will be more real to his word and more real as his people. Okay, let's turn to the passage. Let's learn from God's word. It breaks into four sections. Let's learn what God the Holy Spirit wants to do in the church, what Paul is saying the Corinthians need to think about. In these first three verses, we see that God the Holy Spirit says Jesus is Lord and we must proclaim it. It's not rocket science, it's not difficult. I hope, indeed, it is what you want to be about. Verse 1 is clearly the beginning of the new section. And Paul is clearly correcting errors. The language he uses is as a corrective. It says, not like that, like this. You know, put off, put on. It's often Paul has to write like that. And in verse 2, straight up, we find that Paul introduces a very key contrast in his theme. There is a difference, he says, between the dumb idols of the pagan worship, between dumb stuff that can't be understood, things that don't make sense to anybody who's even the slightest bit intelligent, and clear speech, well-presented messages. And he starts by making this great comparison. Paul says, when you were pagans and those priestesses gave their ecstatic utterances, and, you know, and all that was going on, he said, it just wasn't English. Well, actually, he probably said it just wasn't Greek, because it was Greek in those days. It just didn't make sense. And let's face it, the idol at the end of the room never spoke, did it? It's dumb. And can you hear the critique? I'm being polite. Can you hear him almost slap them down for their foolishness? In this, why would you have that? Why would you want that in the church? God, the Holy Spirit, speaks. God has spoken by his prophets, we sing in the hymn writer has said, don't we? And that hymn details many of the ways in which God has spoken. God is a speaking God. Why would you want something unintelligible, says Paul. And what's more, he goes on to challenge them. And he says, I think probably there's a couple of ways in which verse 3 can be understood. Did anybody ever say Jesus is cursed is a good question. The likelihood is, I think, as the worshippers started to leave the pagan temples and the church started to grow, that some of the ecstatic utterances in the pagan temples were Jesus is cursed, because they're losing followers. When they lose followers, they lose support, they lose money, they lose all that goes with it. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of those ecstatic utterances were made like that, or translated to mean that that church over there, that new thing, is cursed. It's wrong. It's don't go there. Don't do it. May not be. It may be Paul is just making an argument from the extreme. You know, who knows what you're saying? If it's unintelligible, you might even say Jesus is cursed in an unintelligible way, and you just can't have that. It's just not. There's no place for that in church. God the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks clearly in the church. He proclaims that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Paul says, don't you want that? That's what he's saying. When you come to church on a Sunday morning, don't you want someone to say, Jesus Christ is good, Jesus Christ is great, Jesus Christ is Lord, he is my Savior, he is my friend. This is what you want to hear, isn't it? Come on, people, I hope it is. Is it what you want to hear? Yes? Oh, good. that's what we want. And Paul says, why would you go after anything else? Why would you let anything else arise? Why would you focus on anything else? Why would you let that be your emphasis? Jesus Christ is Lord. God the Holy Spirit speaks and proclaims the great work of the Father in heaven in sending Jesus Christ to be our Saviour and Lord. Let us be very careful when we come to church in our Christian lives. Am I giving Christ the preeminence? Is he first in my life, or do I make something else a god? That's the challenge. That's the challenge. Let's give him the glory, great things he has done. I mean, if you get stuck on this, go to the hymn writers, because they do this well. Okay? So here, as Paul corrects the Corinthians' focus on this one gift, they're overemphasizing these tongues, these utterances. He says, look, think, what is God like? A speaking God. What is God the Holy Spirit like? A God who clearly proclaims that Jesus is Lord. He goes on and drives this on. And my second point, please, Ben, is that all the persons of God are at work, and we must work with them. If that wasn't enough for you, that God the Holy Spirit is at work in the church, proclaiming clearly and intelligibly for all to hear Jesus is Lord, Paul then rams it home and says, but it's not just God the Spirit. It is indeed all the persons of the Trinity. Now, this is a highly stylized text in the Greek, and Ben, I think it'll come up next if you click the button for me. Verses 4 to 6 actually read like this, with the repetitions in the Greek. Diversities of gifts there are. It's very Yoda, isn't it? Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of service, but the same Lord. Diversities of workings, but the same God. Do you feel the force of that now? That's what Paul is saying. And God works all things in all people. What Paul is saying is stop picking and choosing. All right? We don't have the right to say tongues is all you need. We don't have the right to say, if I may be so bold, preaching is all you need. We don't have the right to say singing hymns is all you need. We can't take one bit over it all. All three persons of the Trinity are doing miraculous things. We need to know this, declare this, get alongside with this. God, the Holy Spirit, and gifts is a connection we find easy to make in this day and age. But we know from John's Gospel what the Lord said to us. The service of the Lord Jesus is going on even now. Why? Because his works are worked in you and me today. And so the challenge of serving as Christ served is valid. For those of you who were at home group this week, did we not read in Isaiah 64 of the effective working of God? Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. God the Father is at work today, molding and shaping you and I to the vessel he needs us to be. To go into service in the place that Christ would have us to serve. To be full of God the Holy Spirit in such a way that we overflow into the world. Now let's not forget that. In fact, let's celebrate it. Let's glory in it. Let's wonder about its complexity. And how much more of God's plan would be achieved through our lives if I started thinking of this instead of one little bit. Now, all right, the big things are made up of little things. And some of us need the big picture, and that just drives us. And some of us need to see the steps, okay? But let's have the big picture and the steps if you need them. The number of times... Now, let me say this first. All these things are the work of God in you and me. We mustn't say, I'm a gifted spirit worker and ignore service. There are some who do that. We mustn't say, I'm a servant and I have no spiritual gifts. There are people who will say that. And all you will hear them do is little hidden away things. God may give you both. Let's be open to the possibility. We should none of us ever say, I'm about the Father's work. I don't need to serve others. Which you can hear. The number of times I hear somebody say, can't, in the context of gift or service or work in the church, we must remember that God is about all of these things. Many of the times I have used the word can't, what I really meant was won't. And if I would only trust God, he would, and I could. There's a challenge here. Ask me afterwards the story of the Christian mission that nearly failed because the boss wouldn't join the toilet cleaning rota. You can get the picture of that. His predecessor had. He refused. The whole Christian ministry nearly came down because he refused to clean the toilets once a 8 weeks or something like that. That's the danger we have when we say, I won't. You can learn to clean the toilet. You can learn to serve. God will give you the gifts you need. Let's be open to the working of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, for this is our calling. Let us be open to exhibit the gifts of God the Holy Spirit, to do the works of service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be about the work of God our Father. Paul draws the focus tighter in verses 7 to 10. Can you take us on, please, Ben? It takes us on to the diversity of gifts. One more, I think, Ben, thank you, in verses 7 to 10. The Corinthians, remember, have a one-track mind. Tongues, 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 and do it like the pagans do. And to Some of us today have a one-track mind. Do it like we've always done, whatever it might be. Paul says, experience the diversity of the gifts of God. Don't be silly, don't be closed, don't be selfish, says Paul. The diversity of the gifts listed here is remarkable. I'm going to take a moment in a moment to run through them and explain what is meant by them. But first, let's look at the top phrase. Thank you, Ben. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is the thing we must remember as we're challenged to the diversity of the gifts. Again, they're not for me. They're for all to experience, for all to grow. Each and every gift, each and every service you can do, each and every work of the Father you're about is given not for you, but for us together and for the growth of the gospel from the church to the world. Let's not forget this truth. On the day of Pentecost in a self-centered world, it's often easy to think about what I might do if God the Holy Spirit came and rested on my shoulder in a tongue of flame. And the challenge is, what would God do through me for the church and for the world? So what are these gifts? Take us on again, please. Ben, thank you. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for to one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. I think the simplest conclusion is that a message of wisdom is some insight about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that in the Corinthian day, Paul is envisaging as the church gathers, they would probably have a time of open sharing where all were invited to speak. Someone might say, this has come to me, and others would then test it and decide if it was right. That's the role of the elders. But one and another would stand up and say, when I remember what Jesus did, if he was an eyewitness, that account you told me of what the Lord Jesus Christ did, do you see in his taking off of his robe and the wrapping of the towel around his waist, the act of service? The way he served the disciples and pictured his service on the cross. The message of wisdom would seem to be an insight about the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of knowledge, then, is different. It seems to be an insight about this world and the things of this world. I always remember meeting, I know some of you have heard me speak before, of Morgan Derham, an unsung hero of evangelicalism, Scripture Union and other things. I sat with him once and some others. I was a very naive teenager. Others around were far more intelligent, and this was about 4, maybe 5 years before anything ever happened about the Berlin Wall. So the Cold War was still ticking along. And he said, we need to watch that wall. Won't be there for very much longer. Word of knowledge, message of knowledge about the world. He could read the times. And it was an insight given by God, using his intellect and his study and his prayer life. And it was helpful. And people turned in that direction and focused and prayed. It's a word about the world. It might be relevant to an individual, might be relevant to a church, might be relevant to a country. To another, God the Holy Spirit grants faith. Faith, I think, here is the conviction that God will act in a certain circumstance. You know how folks, and there are people here who've given testimony to this, I believe God wants me to do this because he's going to use me here. I can't see how, but that's an act of faith. I believe God is going to do this. And to have almost certainty about it. That is the gift of faith. It can be general, it can be very specific at times. It's interesting that those last two are often illustrated by a story of Charles Spurgeon, who one day broke off from preaching and said words to the effect that there's someone here who has opened his shop on a Sunday and made a few pence of profit, and he quotes the exact numbers. And the man comes up afterwards and admits that that was him. He'd had the shop open. And how in any way in that large church could Pastor Spurgeon have known. It was a word of wisdom and the gift of faith, the conviction that God wanted that word spoken to use it in that moment. And that man, that's that man's testimony of how he came to the Lord. Sitting in church, what's this man all about? And that evening, the Lord had a word for that man. He's about your life and about you changing. So we have faith, we have then healings. And these two are tied together, it seems, in the Greek. It may be that healings is a specific demonstration of faith. It's obvious that, you know, that God from time to time works beyond what humanly we expect in the realms of medicine. I want to demonstrate this to you by just quoting briefly from an email from Tom Chapman, my pastor when I was in Surrey Chapel. Many of you have prayed for him. And he wrote this week. Dear praying friends and colleagues, a quick note to give thanks for ongoing answered prayer. In spite of my prior trepidations, the latest scan results are even better than the previous ones. It shows no visible tumour activity at all, just a bit of a hole. Quotes, looks like you had a tumour, quotes, is about as good as it gets with one of these things. I presume that's one of the surgeons. We give thanks, this is Tom again, we give thanks to God for his kindness, his provision of strange combination of innate physical resilience, ionizing radiation, chemotherapy, skilled doctors and surgeons, the NHS, radical low-carb diets, alternative therapy, helpful friends, and whatever else has played its part, but most importantly, the power of the Spirit and answered prayers. I do still appreciate ongoing prayer to overcome the lingering effects on my capacities and, of course, that it would not return. Please do pass this news on to those who know have taken an interest and may not have received this message. God is at work in the gift of healings. Miraculous powers would seem to be other happenings that are outside the realms of the natural. I think probably there's another screen, Ben, that we might go on to with... Oh, it's not there. No? Yes, they're here they come. Keep going. Obviously, these are going to have to be added to the screen. Miraculous powers are other happenings that are outside the realms of the natural. I think the most helpful thing here, if you will forgive me, is to think about the Incredible Hulk. Do you remember the cartoon character, the Incredible Hulk, who, when the situation demanded, transformed into that beast, if you will, of great strength, able to do remarkable things? Now, all right, it's gone a long way from the 1960s Marvel comic. Let's stay back there with the basic idea. When the situation demanded it, he became something other than his normal self and was able to act. That's a miraculous happening. Outside the laws of science as we know them, perhaps. Not always. Strength beyond strength. Perseverance. The ability to go on. Do we not see that in the lives of some of our persecuted brothers and sisters in the church in some war-torn parts of the world at this time? Prophecy, then, is the spontaneous, intelligible, inspired speech in the assembly for the edification of the church. Paul draws this out, prophecy or tongues, and this is the great contrast at the beginning. Prophecy is understandable. Prophecy is somebody in the congregation saying, God is like this. It's not scripture necessarily, certainly it's prophecy with a small p. But it's an inspired word to encourage the church. Now, we probably mostly in our church currently do that over coffee and in private prayer. When one or another just quietly says, God is like this. And the other listens and hears and is warmed and encouraged. Tongues then, sorry, I ought to say as well that the prophecy is not the sermon. It's a very different thing. The sermon is something planned and prepared. This prophecy in the realms of Corinthians and the Corinthian church is unplanned. It's God the Holy Spirit having his way to cause someone to say something. Tongues then, rightly used, according to Paul, would be the spontaneous, unintelligible, inspired speech in the assembly for the edification of the church, and it needs to be interpreted, otherwise it doesn't edify everybody. So these are the gifts. These are the gifts. And we should understand, friends, that God works in lots and lots of ways in our lives. He challenges, he encourages, he teaches through us one another, and he challenges the world with the gospel. The only thing God does not do is sin. All else he can do, and he will act according to his perfect will. One of the things that Vi said to me yesterday as we were speaking is, the only thing God cannot do is fail. And we ought to accept that diversity and not bound him as we seek to follow the Spirit's leading to proclaim Jesus is Lord. One last slide I think I have, Ben, if I may. Finally, in verse 11 comes the final point of this morning and of this passage. God the Holy Spirit is sovereign, says Paul. I think you're going to have to move. That's it. That's the one. Proclaim him. And again, you're going to say to me, haven't you said this already? Yes, I have. But Paul says it again, because he wants us to grasp that this is the heart of the matter. When we say tongues is enough, when we say this is enough, that's enough, when we stop thinking that God might work in another way, we have a challenge. We are getting very close. We're a step or two away from making our God smaller than he really is. And that is a dangerous place to be. And that is a road you do not want to walk down as a believer. To say that God does not do this and does not do that and will not do this, unless you're saying God will fail or God will sin, because he won't do those things, but that's it. He may well do everything else. Will he proclaim the gospel through you this afternoon to somebody? I don't know. He might. Will he return before tomorrow morning? I don't know. He might. We have to accept that our God is sovereign. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And Paul says to the Corinthian church, why limit him to one thing? Why limit your worship of him to one thing? And a dumb thing at that. When you can worship him in spirit and in truth, and God the Holy Spirit will through you proclaim, Jesus is Lord. And if you will explore it, you will find that God the Holy Spirit, God the Son and God the Father are all at work. And in a myriad diverse number of ways. Because God is sovereign. We should proclaim him in his sovereignty to the world. Let's pray that we might.